Good afternoon, and you're listening to the Same Different Show with me, Ruby.
Yeah, and Mark as well. I think Ron's right. I'm glued to this seat today, but I've really enjoyed myself.
And Ron?
And Ron, yeah, me, yeah. And, of course, our Susie. Who, yep. What would we do without Susie?
We've got our wonderful Susie in the studio with us today.
Well, we are missing Sushi, unfortunately. She's got a head cold. Sushi, if you're listening, we hope you're going to get better soon, Mark.
I know. I was hoping I was going to see her today. I'm absolutely gutted that she's not in this afternoon.
Sushi, we're missing you, and especially because you've got more knowledge on almost anything we talk about on this programme than anybody.
Absolutely.
And she copes with her problems very well as well, like her wheelchair problems.
She does.
She does very well, I think.
Well, I think her wheelchair maintenance man copes with the wheelchair problems quite well as well.
Yeah, that's good. When we have to wait for him to arrive here, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and Sushi, with a head cold, just have plenty of liquids and keep warm and enjoy yourself and put your feet up and pretend it's Christmas already and have a little enjoyment.
Plenty of vitamin C.
Have a nice warm cup of brew.
Don't stand out in the cold, as Ruby said. It's really cold, she just said.
Well, Sushi is coming
next
in tomorrow.
Week, the beast from the east is coming.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
That's a bit scary.
Oh, right. They're calling it the beast from the east. It's coming next week. Yeah, they're colder than it's been for 25
So does
years.
That mean we'll be Skyping you, Ron?
Yeah.
So if you get stuck up there. How many layers of coats do we have to wear, then?
I don't really know. I've just bought myself this morning some leggings. The first time in my life I've bought leggings. But
I've got thermal leggings on now,
there
as
you
we
are.
Speak.
Susie's got some leggings.
I've got. I'm going to be here for a little while, and then I'm going to go off outside to do a photo shoot because the casting agencies have asked me to do some headshots. And Jenny, our Jenny Ventures, one of our presenters, is actually a professional photographer,
yes,
so
is.
she's agreed to do it because I'm having such trouble uploading my rubbish photos. So she's going to do a little bit of a photo shoot, and then I'm going to do someone who we all know called Farah, who's from Persia, and I'm going to massage her head and shoulders because she's got a shoulder lock, I think. So I'm quite busy today, really. I'm supposed to be studio managing, but we have our wonderful Phil.
Thank God.
Can I just ask you something? Recently, I had a Reiki massage, Susie. You know about it.
Yeah,
I've never
do, actually.
Anything like it in my life. I thought, silly girl. She didn't even touch me. She just went over me.
No.
Well, she's going with energy.
Yeah.
And it worked.
I do Reiki as well.
Yeah,
I do it in my massages.
But the point is that she didn't touch me, and I didn't believe. I was a non-believer, so I can't be mind over matter. But, man, I must tell you, the first time she did it, I felt sicker than anything.
Yeah, in fact, different kinds of massage can cause all sorts of different... You're normally bringing things out in order to help cure it.
Yeah.
So the first day after a massage, you're either going to go to sleep all the time or things are going to come out and you'll be quite emotional sometimes.
I spoke to my dear lady doctor last week, who's an Egyptian. Lovely lady, Dr. Dodi Farmi, and she said, no, all these things are good, you know. I said, but I got a hernia, are we supposed to... Because one masseur was a bit worried about me doing it with it. She said, don't see any reason why it should, you know, but shall we go on to some music? Because we're now going out into shops, you see, and we've got to keep that music going.
Yeah,
regularly.
We like the music spirit. What was that first track, Ruby?
What, the one that was just playing?
Can you back announce that for me, please?
That was Tiny Dancer by Tina Turner, which... who was the guy that was in before?
James.
I haven't met James before.
Yeah, great guy.
But James was playing that for us. But today we're going to start our show with Finley Quay and Sunday Shining.
Make it! Morning.
I am. I want to know you. Here I stand. As the morning gathers the rainbow, I want you to know now that I'm a rainbow for you. Whoa, 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 yeah. Test the eye, test the eye. Feel no evil. Shining like a light.
Was the wonderful Friendly Quay with Sunday Shining off of the Maverick album, which is an excellent album. I must request that you listen to it.
Is it American?
What's Friendly Quay?
Yeah.
I believe so. Uh-huh. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he is.
Ah.
It's an amazing album.
Sounds good.
Well, last week, Sushi and I were in a nativity play. It was a beautiful play out at Lewis, run by the Oyster Group, which... as you all know, is a disabled-run organisation, fantastic group. And I just realised why it's called Oyster. Do you know, Sushi, Susie?
Because it has a pearl in the middle.
Because there's a gem in every person. Uh-huh. That's what they believe. See? Including we, those of us who are disabled. There's a gem in every person.
Absolutely.
And we had... we had a full house, Susie, not a seat to be had.
I know, and I didn't even know it was up particularly that time. I thought it was going to...
All tickets were gone.
Was it in the evening?
In the evening, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought it was in the daytime.
Well, believe you me, it was a mixture. Only Lewis could do that. I wish Brighton could do it. They got all the professionals, and of course there's a lot of professional theatre people in Lewis. Robert East from Blackadder did the reading. He was doing telling the story. Well, Sarah Gordy from upstairs downstairs was playing Mary. I was playing one of the three wise men. Suchi was playing Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And people in wheelchairs, people with learning difficulties,
yeah.
All working together because everything was done, the lighting and such like, and even the woman who made me up was a professional.
I noticed the pictures, which are still on Oyster, aren't they? And yeah. I noticed the pictures that you sent, and there was a picture of you being made up, and I didn't even recognise you once you were made up.
Oh, God, like Frankenstein.
What were you? Were you a shepherd?
A wise man,
yeah. Which one?
The one in the middle.
What's the one in the middle?
Now, I tell you why, there's a reason about that, because when we were presenting the gifts, we were told that we had to do it correctly. Frankincense... Gold.
Gold, frankincense and myrrh. So you were frankincense.
I was frankincense.
That's
yeah.
A good one to be.
And I was, and there old Sarah, and she looked so graceful. You know, I mean, this is a lady, I told her someone about town, I can't get over her. She's got Down syndrome. Yeah, she takes the theatre and everything. On that stage, she becomes a different person. She becomes the person she's supposed to be. She's very professional. And, of course, recently she was in Holby City. She had a good part in that. And they dealt, you know, Ruby, did you see this?
I saw that. She played a good part in that.
Ruby, did you see it?
I never got a chance to watch it. I don't watch, like, Holby City or stuff.
Well, in that, she played a young girl who was pregnant with Down syndrome, who was pregnant. In fact, she passed out in the hospital. Now, that's incredible, because years ago they would never have tackled a line like that.
I know. And also she was in Torchwood. And I was very envious. You see, my green eyes come out then. Sarah Goody is in the local equity branch, oh. And I'm in the local equity branch. So all the people that she knows from Lewis as well,
yeah.
We kind of know through the equity. So it's nice to actually have that link with Sarah.
It is, it is.
I just wish I could have got to see the production.
Well, she was marvellous. And
I'm sure.
The thing was, there were these young boys with learning difficulties, young boys and girls, and they had to change the stage. Now, there were 10 changes of scenery. It was an open stage. And these scenes had been professionally made, so everything turned round. You know, the, and I was worried. I thought, you know, somebody's going to make a mistake. I thought, you know, they ran on. They each knew their place. If you see... And those boys were professional. Those learning boys and girls with learning disabilities.
It's interesting because we had Alex on this morning.
Took it like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, Alex has got Asperger and or autistic spectrum, and he is so precise with everything. Yeah. And I should imagine there's a lot of the youngsters with learning difficulties that would be very precise.
I mean, they turn that stage round.
Them down to the ground being part of stage.
The way they work, they turn that stage round in 10 seconds.
That's really professional, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the way they do it, it's like a routine, isn't it?
They do it like a dance routine. Everybody knows their moves.
So there's no gaps or...
Yeah. But nobody's falling. You know what I mean? As it's an open stage, being done in front of the audience, it has to be done smoothly. You know, and we stood watching. And I'm sorry if I may. I should never have thought that. They were brilliant. And anybody who says anything about puts limitations on learning handicapped people like Lucy, like Susie Lucy, should just come and see them. Come and see them at their best.
Yay! Nice one. And if you're interested in poetry and writings and stuff, recently I took part in a production called Warning It May Contain Nuts, and it was at the Brighton Dome,
yeah.
And it was part of the Brighton Comedy Festival, and there is a DVD, but there's also this week at the West Hill Hall, Compton Avenue, not Compton Street, and it's just up the road from Brighton Station, and it's quite difficult to find, so you really do need to get directions properly. On the 7th of December... 11th of December, sorry, 7 till 9 is a book launch of the book, Warning It May Contain Nuts. It's the second book. And each contributor will get 2 free copies. So I'll get 2 free copies anyway. But they'll be selling the DVDs for £10, and they are really good DVDs. And books for a special price of £5. And if you want me to autograph it, I will for you. That's fine. So if you want to buy a Christmas present, it's a really good book. I assure you, it's not just because I'm in it. It is. Sally Ann, who's part of the production, says, if you enjoyed stigma bashing, poetry sensation sellout, Warning It May Contain Nuts at the Pavilion Theatre, you may want to come along to the book and DVD launch. Step outside the box and revel in an evening of original poetry, music and song. It's worth dragging yourself out onto the dark winter evening, if only to for the orgiastic cakes. When you've seen our show, you will realise that having mental health problems has its advantages, and the entire performance is free. Can you beat that? And that's John Potter, who's the director of Company Paradiso Productions, enables people to tell their stories. He's recently had some stories being told on BBC4 and channel and one of the channels as well. And if you want to know more about Paradiso, go to www.companyparadiso.co.uk, and he's got a blog. Or you can phone him on 07866 981 421. So it's 11th of December, 7 till 9 o'clock, West Hill Hall Community Centre, and it's in Compton Avenue, just off Seven Dials. Okay, it's a really, really interesting time you'll have.
Shall we go to music? And then afterwards, we want to talk about the attack on this boy with learning difficulties in Crowborough.
Okay. Now, we're now going to play a bit of Bobby Womack Across 110th Street.
Thank you. the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, yet nothing crossed my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free.
Across 110th Street, which is the theme tune to the Quentin Tarantino film, Jackie Brown. Have you seen it?
That's why I love having you here, Ruby. one of the many reasons I love having you here. You know all about the music. You're more than we all so-and-sos do. Anyway,
yeah, and you are listening to Same Difference as well.
On Brighton and Hove Community Radio, we've got Ruby here, we've got Mark, we've got Susie and me, Ron. Now, I heard something this week. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. It was an attack on a boy with learning difficulties in the car park at a supermarket in Crowborough. His job was collecting the trolleys, you know, and that after. He was attacked by three boys. The police caught the boys the following day. He actually had his blood, the boy they attacked, his blood was on their shoes. But the police are not prosecuting on the grounds that a learning handicapped boy would make a bad witness in court. What do you think of that, Susie?
It's disgraceful.
That is disgusting. That is terrible.
So there was no witnesses?
No witnesses, you see. And he was the only... They beat him up. For what reason, I don't know. They caught the three boys the following day.
How did they know it was those three boys?
They had his blood on their shoes.
Then they should prosecute, because they've got forensic evidence.
Yeah, they said exactly. The Crowborough police have said that boy was the only witness and would make a bad witness in court. What do you think of that?
Well, I can see that, you know, solicitors. You know what they're like, these barristers and stuff.
Yeah.
They can really pull people down. Yeah. And you've got to, it's almost like you're innocent till you're really proven guilty.
Yeah.
But the very fact that, I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs. So the I only got this on
because there's two sides to every story.
I really don't think it's fair, you know, that they should get away with it if they've got forensic evidence. But if it's not enough evidence, what do you do? It's difficult. Yeah. It's a difficult one, I think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's more to it than we know.
Yeah. This was told on
Nobody should be beaten up anyway.
No one should be beaten up for any reason.
Well, the boy, I should say he's a man. He's 30 years of age and he's too frightened to go into work now.
It's so traumatic as well. It's not nice. It's just not nice.
Susie's the financial expert. As we haven't got her here today, we'll ask you, Susie, what did you think about the budget, the way it might affect the disabled? Only 1%.
Well, I think it's going to affect everybody, including people who are on ESA. Already we know that.
Yeah.
We already know that there's stuff that's been put in this budget that was already in question. It's just that we've been talking about this for months and months, and it's now happening, basically. Yeah. And
well, week that we've heard about big business which doesn't pay its taxes, and somebody's come out today that they've gone about Starbucks, Google, and Amazon. They're not the only ones by far. Someone will say on the radio this morning, they're not the only ones by far. A lot of big boys don't pay their full taxes. They move money around, you see, and so they pay it in the cheapest point.
Yes, I know. I know.
So does that mean if they don't pay it, they're in debt?
No, they just don't pay. They get away with it because they're big business.
What it is with the system, there's this law that says they can only get taxed once from the money getting moved from the UK to, like, say they're an American company. That money can only be taxed once, so they won't be actually paying like full-on British tax. They'll be paying more of like the American tax money on it rather than paying for our tax.
Right. If you make money, at my point, if you earn the money in this country, you should pay the taxes in this country.
I totally agree. I'm having to pay the tax. You know, I'm getting a very low income and I'm paying tax, apparently, on my pension.
Yeah. We all pay tax. Everybody pays tax.
Well,
so if we pay tax, and that might not be millions.
When you everyone buy a loaf of bread, everybody pays tax.
No
when
one
you buy
should
a
be
loaf
avoiding
of bread,
it.
You pay tax.
You know what I think is ridiculous, though? I bought a sausage roll the other day, and I had to pay tax for it to be warmed up.
Really?
Yes,
that's right, yeah. It is ridiculous.
Like pastries and stuff, if you want it, like, heated, then you have to put tax on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? Just put it in the microwave for 30 seconds?
So you asked for it. Well, I didn't even know that myself.
I did know. It is ridiculous.
I was really shocked. I was like, really? What is going on?
Well, if you want to buy any sort of like sausage rolls or anything like that and you want to come into BMECP, I'm sure we can warm them up for you.
Yeah, and we'll get taxed on it in the studio, won't we?
No, it might become taxing if we get queues. So for that young man, I'm really sorry and wish him
but we'll discuss this again. Susie knows more about police things than
Because we don't know all the details.
Well,
it's hard to comment on something if you don't know all the details, especially something legal like that. But in my opinion, if they've already got some sort of forensic evidence against them, perhaps they ought to give them a bit of an education at least.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about, I'm just hoping he isn't very badly,
come back in, everybody.
Very badly injured.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because that's awful.
But mentally injured as well.
Well,
because
bruises.
You go for a trauma.
And it's horrible, isn't it, really?
Well, I've got to dash off because I've got to go for this photo shoot with our wonderful Jenny Ventures.
Are you ready for your close-ups?
I'm ready for my cleansing.
What's that film, is it? Sunset Boulevard. I'm ready for my close-ups, Mr. Demir.
I am ready for my close-ups. I
Jenny's
will stand by
got her makeup
you.
On as well.
Oh, thank you, Susie.
It's a pleasure. Enjoy.
Okay, thanks, Susie.
Should we have a bit of music now?
Like, let's have some music, and then we want to discuss something with Mark. Mark's expert opinion on this.
We'll play a bit of music, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to play the wonderful Zac Brown with Chicken Fried.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
of a Georgia pine. And that's home, you know, sweet tea, pecan pie, homemade wine, where the peaches grow. In my house, it's not much to talk about, but it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground, and a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio of a precious child and no mother's love. It's funny how it's the little things in life that mean the most, not where you live, what you drive, or the price tag on your clothes. There's no dollar sign on a peace of mind, this I've come to know. So if you agree, have a drink with me, raise your glasses for a toast to a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, oh, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child, and know a mother's love. God for my life, for the stars and stripes, may freedom forever fly. Let it ring, salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, oh, oh, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child, and know a mother's love. Get your little chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, oh, oh, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes,
and that was the excellent Zac Brown with Chicken Fried, and you're listening to the Same Different Show on Brighton Hove Community Radio. I don't know if many of you know this, but Sarah Story, who was the Paralympian this summer, she won 11 Paralympic gold medals, 5 in swimming, 6 in cycling, 8 silver medals in swimming, 3 bronze medals in swimming. She's also won 20 world champions, 21 European titles, 7 World Cup titles, and more than 140 national titles, with 72 world records, which is just absolutely amazing from that list. But she's actually been voted for the UK Sports Personality of the Year Award for the BBC.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic, isn't
with
it?
With that, she's against like people like Mo Farah, Andy Murray. So many people have been nominated for them. But I think Sarah Story is like one person who actually deserves this nomination.
Can we vote for her? Can we?
Yeah, I think if you go onto the BBC website and then there's a like the voting system through there. I think it's all like an online voting like system. But definitely, like, go in and vote for her. She definitely deserves to win that award.
She definitely deserves it. And her name again is, what's her name?
Sarah Story.
Sarah Story, right.
Yeah.
And also, I bought the DVD of it.
Did you?
Yes. So if anybody wants a copy, I can do a copy of it now. I've got the original Olympics thing.
It was
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It's about 55 minutes long on each DVD, I think someone said.
That's good.
So it's quite long to watch. I know it is, but yes, Ruby's right. I'm glad she won it.
I just can't believe like what she's achieved to have 22 Paralympic medals, 11 of them are gold. Like, it's just absolutely unreal. Like, that's one, like, one in a once in a lifetime achievement, that is. Like, do you know what I mean? What story do you have, Ron?
Are you trying to find the news.
The Federation has an excellent new site, and it should be well looked at. But what I was interested in talking about the Paralympics, Sarah Ismail, who's a disabled poet, we've read her poems on this programme, said something on the radio the other day. By the way, I heard this broadcast on the new podcast app, which you can get, and there's all kinds of programmes on there, but our programme, are the only programme from Brighton and from this station.
Well done to us.
And what she was saying in is that, you know, if she was asking, they were asking the question, has the Paralympics done much to improve the image of disabled people? She said, well, let me tell you this. She said, if two people went into a supermarket in wheelchairs,
right,
one had been disabled by war, and one have been disabled by a disease, you can bet your life more people go up to the one disabled by war because they understand him better than somebody disabled by disease. And I thought, well, if that's correct, that's terrible.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit as though you're letting somebody down a little bit as well. Do you know what I mean? I'm just hoping that when Ron answered that question, I'm hoping that it has improved disabled people by seeing the Paralympic Olympics.
And we know that if two people, if people are disabled, it doesn't matter if they were disabled in a field of battle or if they were disabled by muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, meningitis, all these other diseases. What matters is that they're disabled, not how. Well, Sarah Ismail, I think, is right to point this out, that people feel more for people, for those disabled by war than those disabled by disease.
Yeah.
I mean, look what I do for the station. I mean, Susie was surprised. She didn't think I was going to come on my Harley, as she says, as she calls my wheelchair. And, I was just coming into the studio when I bumped into her this morning, and she said, you're amazing. I said, nothing will stop me. If I'm going to do something, I'll come and do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think
you've got to have a positive attitude if you want to go and do something. Do you know what I mean, Ruby?
Positive thoughts, like, will literally get you through everything. Like, there's no point of, like, dwelling in the negative because it's just going to make your, like, your mind be negative. Do you know what I mean? If you're actually, like, continuously positive, you're actually going to have a little bit of get up and go, and you're going to want to have, like, more motivation and determination to do things.
I mean, it makes me feel when I've done something here, I always go home and say to myself on the edge of the bed and say, I've done a good job for someone today.
Yeah.
If you can't say something good to somebody, what can you say?
And as I've said to a lot of disabled people, coming this, doing broadcasting, doing podcasting, doing TV, as we hope to do next year, it really makes you feel, you, especially when you see the finished product, you've got a finished product there. And, you know, you're helping people. You walk into a shop, as I did yesterday, and you hear this station going out, and you think, I'm part of that. It's good.
Yeah, most definitely. It's good.
I mean, from the college, I saw Andy, which they call Andy and Andrew, which he's got two names, and he's just so... He can't believe what I've done. I mean, I said to him this morning, I'm going to the studio now, and he says, have a good show. He always gives me a good comment, and I've known him for... since I started college, and I still can't believe they still let me in after, what, nearly 30 years. And they still think I'm wonderful.
Because you are wonderful.
And a lady had on the badge this morning on the train, I love myself, which I thought was nice as well. And she had a lovely red heart on there. Fantastic.
Wonderful. Just to let everyone know as well, tomorrow we do have the Grand Christmas Fair from 12 till 5 at the BMECP Centre, which is at 10A Fleet Street. We'll have a number of stalls, including tombola, crafts, books, bric-a-brac, and to help with the festive atmosphere, there'll be mulled wine and mince pies. You also have the chance to be interviewed by some of the Brighton Hoven community radio presenters, so come and join us and have some fun. As I said, it's from 12... from 2 till 5, rather.
And meet the team. It is disabled accessible, as Ruby said, this place is. And we're in Fleet Street. If you don't know where Fleet Street is, well, how would you describe Fleet Street?
Well, it's opposite New England House, isn't it?
Well, yeah. The London Road, Sainsbury's, just go along from there, along New England Street from there, and round the corner at the top, and there's Well, you actually come around. If you go along Sainsbury's and you turn right into New England Street, you're at the back of the centre, and you go around the junction there, around the what do you call that junction there?
Long, tall junction.
I would say it's at the back of the station. So if you know where Jury's Inn is, you just come down from the station.
Between the Jury's Inn and Sainsbury's.
Yeah. And we're sort of meshed in the middle, so it's wonderful.
Okay, we're going to have some more music.
Yeah, let's just get some up. Let's have a bit of... Oh, let's go for Bob Marley and Jam Him.
Thank you.
Bob Marley with Jammin' being played on the same different show on Friday afternoon.
It's a lovely show again, isn't it?
Yeah. Ruby gets the music.
I love my music.
Yeah.
That's what gets me through. Now, Ron found this wonderful article, and it was on the Fed, the Centre of Independent for Living, and it's about the Leveson Inquiry. So, Leveson offers new hope in fight against hostile newspapers. It's saying newspapers should be forced to apologise, print corrections, or even face heavy fines if they print misleading or offensive articles about disabled people or other minority groups. According to the Lord Justice Leveson's report into press standards, Leveson's long-awaited report could give disabled people organisations a way to fight back newspapers that stir up hostility with inaccurate and disablest stories. The report calls for the new independent regulatory body for the press, backed by the legislation, with the power to impose fines of up to £1 million and force printed corrections and apologies, although it is not yet clear how much of this report will secure the government backing. In the second volume of his 2,000-page report, Leveson also concludes that there has been a significant tendency with the newspaper industry, which has led to the publication of prejudicial and prerogative references to disabled and other minorities. He says the new regulator would need to address these issues as a matter of priority, with the first step being allowed groups representing minorities, such as disabled people, to lodge third-party complaints, with possibility of fines, corrections and apologies if the newspaper was found to have breached the relevant standards. He adds in Volume 4 of his report, "I see no reason why representations, organisations should not be entitled to raise a complaint in relation to both accuracy and prejudice, where articles are discriminative to a particular respective group." Now, what do you think about that, Ron?
Yeah, well, Leveson, of course, is all the talk about at the moment. And,
yeah.
It's how, you know, what they will say, and we know what is what do you regard as an insult? What do you,
I mean...
Is that what they're talking about, an insult?
Yeah. Is
a misinformation or, you know...
Yeah, they're stirring the truth, so they're not telling the truth.
So they're stirring something up, are they? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean... I think because journalism is such a tricky stepping stone, isn't it? Because with journalists, they're meant to be speaking about the truth, but then they also twist the truth and they can like take quotes and quote them in the way that they want to quote them and portray people in the way that they want to be them to be portrayed.
Yeah.
So it is a really difficult stepping stone. But the thing is, the truth should only be printed. This is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't be able to just make these, like, what would it be? Like, these lies about, like, different groups. This is the thing.
So the trouble is, can I just point out, someone who's just qualified as a journalist.
Yeah.
Can I just say, you've got to make newspapers... They've got to sell newspapers.
Yeah.
And they've got to make the truth sell... They've got to make stories that sell papers.
Yeah.
And I always come down, it's not the fault so much of the journalists, it's the fault of the people who read the darn things.
That's the thing.
You know, it's... You want to know that so-and-so big star has just been involved with the kind of things we've seen at Savile. And people will buy newspapers for those kind of stories. They won't buy them for the kind of stories that young people are doing a tremendous work among the homeless in Brighton.
It's because, like, with newspapers and stuff, people thrive off of the negative stories to make themselves feel better. Yeah. This is the only problem.
Yeah.
So they're reading these like downhearted stories because they think, oh, my life feels better than this. Because
I mean, newspapers have had a thrill of a time the last few weeks with the Savile. With the Savile
Even over the last 3 years, like a couple of years, they've had like a thrill over these like stories, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like with the phone hacking, and now it's turning into like the Jimmy Savile cases.
That's
terrible. And stuff
Wendy,
like that.
I know. I can't believe... That was going on and on and on.
But one thing, you see, to put the other side from the press point of view, and I know that my tutor on my course, Caroline Sutton, who's often seen in this building, would have me say, and that remember, it's journalists who told us about the MP's expenses. They found it out, professional journalists. They found out the fake sheikh who did that, he was a journalist, and that they find things out.
This is why I said, like, it's a tricky subject. Like, it's, like, there's some, like, stepping stones, as I say, which are really good, but then there's, like, a couple of small stepping stones that are really, really bad, you know what I mean?
What I say...
Say people might believe it when they read it. That's another question, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when they go and get the newspaper, it's already been put in there,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
The thing.
So they're actually going to believe... And like you say, it's not good against me or Ron or anybody that's disabled in this block, is it, really?
Yeah.
So it's not really the truth.
Exactly.
So, like you say, we might be being put down or being discriminated.
Yeah. So in a democratic country, it's a free press which watches out, which oversees the government and keeps them in, as much as they can, in line.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've got to have a balance between a press which overdoes itself and, you know, says horrible things about people, you know? And it also they trade on misunderstandings of things. Like with a lot of these sexual misdemeanors of Jimmy Savile, what we've got to try and find out is the way we see it now as the way it would have been seen when it was done back in the 60s and 70s. You see what I mean?
Yeah, times have changed, that's the thing. Like, back in like the 60s and 70s, things were sort of swept under the rug and weren't really
so
like heard
of.
So people weren't really
about.
Like used to what the truth would be, as to say.
Yeah.
Now people seem to be a lot more open with actually what's going on, like within their own like
society,
world and like society and communities.
Yeah.
So things are getting portrayed a lot more and like getting talked about a lot more than what they used to be.
Yeah. Now, Ruby, you want to be a journalist. How do you feel about having to deal with questions like this?
I mean, it's difficult. As I said, like, it is a really tricky subject because journalism is a hard thing. Like, because with journalism, you are meant to portray both sides of the stories. So you can't portray your own, like, opinion within a story, can you?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. As long as the story is pretty balanced, then it should be okay. As long as you're actually, like, writing the truth and you're not writing about a load of lies and you're not, like, misquoting people, then a story should be the truth.
It's also, I mean, looking at it again from the disability point of view, you know, journalism always trades on general conceptions.
Yeah.
They work on this.
They love stereotypes.
They love stereotypes.
Most definitely.
And we've got the challenges, especially as disabled people, it makes it life difficult. Mm. Yeah, they will trade on the general idea in the public that people, because they're disabled, are a bit mentally funny, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I would like them to do? To put something decent about, put something good about us.
Yeah.
Instead of, and then see how things change round.
Yeah.
Instead of putting, like you said, Ruby, lies and comments, and put something good about us and then see how people react. People might react quite differently.
Yeah, most definitely.
So,
My favourite writer is Charles Dickens. I love Charles Dickens. And what we must remember about Dickens is he was a journalist.
Yeah.
And he, for example, in Oliver Twist, we know what workhouse. There was a particular workhouse in London, Wapping, that was the worst of all. And it was that workhouse he used for that story.
Yeah.
The worst of everything, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the way journalists work.
It is the worst.
The worst of everything. I mean, no workhouse was nice, but that was the worst of the lot. Wapping workhouse. And use that for that story. But again, and also, of course, Dickens traded on general conception to people. I mean, look at Jews. The poor Jews got it from Dickens.
Yeah.
Fagin was supposed to be a Jew. Scrooge was a Jew. He traded on general misunderstandings of people.
That's the thing. But, like, even in general society, people love stereotypes. Like, so many people just stick to a stereotype of a person, and it's purely to do with, like, mass media and what mass media has now done to society.
Yeah, well, mass media has a lot to do with a lot of the harm in this society. I mean, the way it's gone on about women, for example, the way it put women down over many years. I mean, for many years, because there wasn't a female journalist.
Exactly.
And they had the stereotypes of women as being, should be in the house and, you know, looking after the kids and doing the cleaning and what have you. And they went for these stereotypes.
Yeah.
They put them in.
But then, with that, because women were so, under the men had the upper hand, didn't they? Especially, especially in, the 1940s and stuff. But then it was, when all the men went to war, it was the women who had to save...
Women show unbelievable talents.
Exactly.
But they learn them overnight. This is the thing. What men have taken years to learn, they learn them overnight and did
just
them.
Just like that. Exactly.
Just like that.
Women are just amazing in that
way. Let's have some music, shall we?
Yeah, most definitely. Let's have a bit of... Oh, let's have a bit of Ellie Ingram. We haven't had a bit of her in ages.
Yeah, she's brought out a new...
I think she's on the way of getting signed.
Ali is from Woodingdean, where I live in Brighton.
Yeah.
If you've never heard her, you ought to hear her, because she's good.
So this is her first original song. This is the first song that she ever released and written herself, and it's called Intoxicated. This version is always live, so just bear that in mind. Thank you. Was the wonderful Ellie Ingram with Intoxicated, which she's just still so amazing, isn't
she? We hope to get her on the station, Ruby, because she's a friend of yours before she gets really famous.
I've been trying to get hold of her, but she's just been like darting up to London so much now to do studio time and stuff like that, and she's like meeting with all these like labels and stuff as well, so she has been one.
She is going to be big, so let's have her before she gets big.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like who's the other boy from Brighton? What's his name? You know the music... The boy from Brighton who made it big on YouTube.
Oh, Conor Maynard.
Conor Maynard. Yes, Beemore.
I said Beemore might be here, didn't I? Yeah, I said he'd be here, didn't I?
Okay,
he's
well...
He's the most important person, you know. But he's not sure.
Well, we're going to go now, aren't we?
So what are we going to go out with?
I think today we should finish with a bit of Fleetwood Mac and Dreams.
Oh, brilliant. My
fantastic.
Track.
Well, from Ruby...
Goodbye.
From Mark
as well.
And from me, Ron. Sushi, get well soon. We want you back next week.
Yeah,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.